We continue then in this theme in Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I might boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we shall see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will fully, even as I've been fully known. And now abide faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. Love is. Let us pray. Now, gracious God, the words of my mouth, the meditation and thoughts of all of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight. For you, dear God, are our rock and our strength and our Redeemer. And the people of God say, Amen. I pray that in some way, throughout this stewardship emphasis, there has been a deeper understanding of this meaning of giving. The wholeness of it that is found in our United Methodist emphasis as it names it as the giving of our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service. Throughout this meaning and understanding, our very life is that of a disciple. And as a disciple, we are given gifts of which we become stewards of. I believe that as a part of this understanding, I believe that there is a calling. There is a calling for each of us. And God would not call us without also providing the tools for this ministry. I've always loved that benediction that said, we have gathered to worship, we must depart and serve. It speaks to what it is, to be a steward. To our role as a steward. There is the other factor here, and that is what we are talking about. Talking about that all that we are called to do is portrayed in the very life of Christ. What we come to this morning then is this meaning of love. 1 Corinthians 13 has been described as the most familiar and the most used passage in the Bible. For persons of all faith traditions and persons who may profess to have no tradition at all, have turned to these words, trying to get a hold of the meaning of love. It can be a struggle to get a clear message on the meaning of love. A little girl was asked, "What is love?" She answered, "Love is when mommy reads you a bedtime story." True love is when she doesn't skip any pages. I'm reminded of Milton Berle, the great comedian. He and his wife got a divorce, but it wasn't long after that they remarried. Someone asked him, "Why did you remarry?" He said, "She reminded me of my first wife." It wasn't long after that, though, that they got a divorce again, and somebody asked him, "Why did you get a divorce?" He said, "She reminded me of my first wife." Trying to get a hold of this meaning of love. On a far, far, far more serious vein, I was thinking about this as we were celebrating and are celebrating Veterans Day. And I know that we have many veterans here in our congregation, and I wanted to say thank you. I wanted to say thank you. For I'm mindful of the great sacrifice that you have made. I was also mindful as I was looking in Friday's newspaper, and I was seeing the list of those persons who have died in this most recent war. I thought about their families and what they must be experiencing, and how this Veterans Day must have a whole different kind of meaning for them. I also thought about war. War. Its meaning and its purpose. We are needing to have a conversation about this. But it is difficult now to have a conversation without being divided. There are so many conversations that we are just needing to have today. In many places, the United States is no longer referred to as the United States, but as the red and as the blue states. We are divided by race, culture, class. This is what we're seeing being acted out in France. But it could happen, sadly, anyway in the world. Religion can often be a source of division. You hear people today speak about holy wars and the announcement that God is on our side. Even in our United Methodist Church, some have said we ought to change the name to the Untied Methodist. When it comes to the study of Scripture, we can see before us, those Scriptures that speak of, "I was hungry and you did not feed me. I was thirsty and you did not give me something to drink. I was naked and you did not clothe me." We can see those things as they are acted out, lived out daily before us. It is up to us to declare, to be bold enough to say, "If I have not love, I am nothing." The Corinthian church was hung up on gifts. And make no mistake that they were spiritual gifts. Tongues, prophecy, intellectual knowledge, even the gift of faith, even the gift of faith without love can hurt others. There was a spirit of charity within the group, of self-sacrifice, but again without love. All of these were spiritual gifts. Paul would help the people to process these gifts. Paul would say at the end of 1 Corinthians 12, long for yet the greater gift. I will show you a more excellent way. Paul was talking about love. And somehow and some way, the church needs to be a witness to what is love. It is not easy. And when we fail to see love in our church, it is because our relationships one with another, are broken. Each one of us has a story to tell. Each one of us within our life is a story. There is some way in which God has worked in all of our lives. And maybe this conversation or this description of miracle, maybe that's too much for you. But I want you to think of something. I want you to think of some way when something seemed impossible, and yet God made a way. I was thinking of this week and reminded this week of standing in line registering at Regis College. Standing in the registration line. And I was trying to get my story together that I didn't have the enrollment fee at that moment. I was trying to get my story together, trying to tell them, I will have a job, I will be working, I'll get it to you, don't worry about it. Then I stepped up to where I was and I thought I was ready. And I said to the register, my name is Aaron Gray. And just as I was about to speak, she said, Aaron Gray, oh yes, there's a grant here for you. You can't tell me that God cannot make a way. I also was reminded of driving Lou to the airport. We were running a little late. She was taking Ryan home. He was just a baby. We were taking him home to meet our family, his grandparents. And we were stopped at the stoplight. And the dear lady just ran into us. She was driving something like a 4x4. And we had, I think it was a Pinto at that time. Believe me, it was much bigger. And she crashed into us. If you would have seen the car later on, you would have said, these people were hurt. These people may not have made it. But we made it. We made it. Made it so that that same dear lady, after we filled out all that needed to be filled out, gave us a ride to the airport. You just can't tell me that God cannot make a way. You can't tell me that what seems to be impossible becomes possible through our faith and trust in Almighty God. I believe this morning if we went around the sanctuary, you have a story. You have a story. You have some witness in which way God has made a difference in your life. The real hope for change within the life of our church, I believe, is that we need to start telling more of our stories. it can overcome so many things. If we dare to tell what is our story. Let me go to the other side then and say, and I won't speak for you at this point, I'll just speak for me. I think the buzzword is baggage. I know that I have my baggage. Say amen. Get it out of your system there. It's all right. It's all right. I know that. But there's something about the church that this ought to be the place where it's safe to share our baggage. This ought to be the place where it's safe to be able to unload. I'm mindful of a dear lady who was in our disciple Bible study. When the class started, the class is some 32 weeks. When the class started, she said, "Pastor, I want you to know, I don't believe in communion. I wanted you to know that." I said, I understand, but I hope you'll stay in the class. She said, "Oh yes, I'm going to stay in the class, but I just want you to know, I just don't believe in it." I said, "I understand." Over those 32 weeks, something happened with Charlotte. Something happened. Her very life had been changed. And we didn't know it really, because there was no one in class who had more to say, more questions to ask, more disagreements along the way. There was no one more than Charlotte. And so the last night I told her in advance, the last night we've got to close with sharing a dinner and we close with communion. I understand you may not participate. She said, "Thank you, Pastor. Thank you." But when we were serving the communion, Charlotte came forth. And I thought maybe she came just for her other classmates who were close to her. I thought maybe she came for them, but no. She told me afterwards, I have learned the meaning of salvation. I have learned the meaning of Christ's sacrifice for my life. And when the bread was broken, Pastor, and when the cup was lifted, I knew that that was for me as well. Something about relationships. Something about the meaning of love in the midst of those relationships. By the way, I was also reminded, Charlotte and I, we often struggle with Scripture together. And so when I was getting ready, but I love Paul, as some of you may know. When we were getting ready to leave Parker, she gave me a picture of Paul. And I still cherish it today. She gave me a picture, and in her card, she wrote, "Now I'm rid of both of you." Relationships. Something about them that can make a difference. This is what Paul was challenging the Corinthian church to do. You have all of these things, but the key is love. God loves us. God loves us. Oh, the challenge now to love one another. Now abides faith, hope, and love. We've talked about these three the past 3 weeks. The greatest of these is what? Love. Amen.